Accession number 30109.
The calendar's real 7. With the end of the campaign in the Falklands, how did you feel then about having been in a situation that you've been in?
Look, I'd probably be like most of the guys. I suppose pretty pleased that we won them. It was over. That's a good start point. Sort of mixed feelings, really. Everything's tinged with a degree of sadness of the blokes you lost, the mates and things and all the rest of it. But by the self-same token, you're pleased in what you've achieved. You've actually started to even develop a bit of rapport with the islanders, or some of them anyway, certainly, and realised that they are really grateful of what you've done. So, and that's lived out to this day. I mean, I've actually got islanders who want me to go back there at the moment and are trying to pay me airfare and all sorts of drag me back there because, seriously, they are that grateful. And that's actually, touches you quite a bit in the heart. That means what you did was right. So it justifies, if you can do that, it justifies all that happened. It justifies what might have occurred. It puts it all into its right place in life, that Andy and Ken and Giff didn't die for nothing. There was a justifiable course, and it would anger the hell out of me if someone just gave away the Falklands on a political stage. It really would.
And with that situation, of course, obviously, on a wider scheme, was there a feeling at the end of the conflict amongst yourself and your comrades that wider thing had been achieved and that democracy, in a sense, had been restored to the islands?
Yeah, look, I would suggest that was probably not in the immediate days on the island, but probably in those few days after when we embarked on Canberra as a brigade. The Marines were lucky we all basically went back on the same ship. And certainly in amongst my peer group and in what became the science mess for the whole brigade that was on the way back up, in that sort of winding down and coming to grips, and that was the point. You would have asked anyone at the end of the conflict immediately what they thought, because you wouldn't get a rational answer. What you would get, though, in the sailing back home and taking 2-3 weeks to do it, was a chance to sort of come down from that high, if you like, and rationalise things, and hear stories from other guys. I saw one part of it, obviously. Lots of guys I know very well who involved all two the different elements of the campaign. And when you get an opportunity, they were prepared to talk. You suddenly learned all these other things that happened as well. I got a guy come and apologise to me almost as soon as we got on camera on the way home. He hadn't seen me since that first day. And he was genuinely upset. I know the guy. He was a chef, a silent chef. He was a really nice guy, good chef. Been a good soldier in his time as well. And he was genuinely upset and apologising to me. And I said, "What for, Jock?" Because I couldn't remember. He said, "Do you remember when you were going to do that very first recce along the ridgeline for the brigade?" I said, "Yeah, I remember all that." He said, "Remember how we laughed and joked about it being a suicide mission and all the rest of it?" He said, yeah. He felt guilty because, of course, although we'd done that job with no problem, that Andy and I then got shot down and Andy hadn't come back, and he actually seriously felt guilty about it. Managed to persuade him not to be, but it took some time. And there were lots of people with those sort of potential problems as well, you could see, who didn't want to talk. They're right, but I don't think it helped them. I think they were bottled up a bit too much.
Now, you've just come over from Australia to attend the 25th anniversary in London.
Yes.
What was that like to come back? And I'm sure you mentioned you've met people you haven't seen for some time.
Yeah, I mean, I've been living in Australia for the last 11 years after I finished in the Marines. And so to be back for the first time is a bit of an eye-opener anyway. And to actually be back and link up with guys, I mean, some I'd seen obviously in the rest of my time in the Corps before that, but again, it's at least 11 or 12 years since I've seen them, and there's certainly a good few others, 25 years since I have seen them. Absolutely tremendous. We had a really brilliant day on Sunday. The ceremony itself was quite good, quite well put together, I must be honest. Being with your mates, marching down the mall, I was rather lucky at the end. I got plucked out of the ranks along with about 8 or 9 other guys and got to be presented to Prince Charles and Andrew and the rest of them, Margaret Thatcher or Baroness Thatcher, who's called Mr. Blair, got that right. And yeah, you know, so that's sort of like icing on the cake, because my wife's at home in Australia. She's not over here with me. I'm on my own, and she saw it all on television, got it all recorded and stuff like that. So it was pretty good. And then we've got the another event now on the 30th of June at the end of this month, which RAF Waddington. The helicopter I was in was actually recovered and has been being restored. It belongs to a civilian museum now. Has been being restored for the last sort of 5 or 6 months by a REMI team in Northern Ireland as part of a project. And that's going to return to RAF Waddington. It will never fly again, of course. And it's going to be there on the 30th of June, and we're going to have a sort of service remembrance with the aircraft. We've got boards made up for it and everything else, and lay reeds and things. Barrett of Statue is coming as a principal guest. We've got that confirmed. So it's pretty cool, and we didn't organise that as a Marine, so it sort of all just came together. So I'm looking forward to going to do that, and we'll like most of the older guys have agreed, there'll be something tangible. We've got three of our mates who've got a watery grave and nothing to, no headstone or whatever to speak of. And our hope is that the aircraft and the information that will go with it, and will actually go shortly after it back to this museum in Doncaster. You know, ordinary people will come along and see that and read that and maybe just take away a bit more knowledge and information they didn't know otherwise.